Is that my hair again, Doris? Heavenly Father, you have blessed Rose as she has prepared this sermon. As she has studied this word, you have encouraged her. So, Rose, with your help under your anointing on each of us, Lord, Rose is going to encourage and bless us. And we pray that she would know your power and your strength as she speaks. And we ask your blessing upon her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I wonder how easy you found it as a child to obey your parents. Maybe to keep your room tidy, to not answer back, to eat your greens. Maybe you didn't like everything they told you to do. I wonder how easy you find it as an adult to keep the laws of our country, even the ones such as not doing more than the speed limit, even if you're in a hurry. Maybe not texting or talking on your mobile while you're driving, not cycling or parking on the pavement, not dropping litter. We're currently in a series of sermons on the Gospel of Matthew, a book most likely written to Jewish Christians that belonged to the people of Israel. These Israelites were chosen by God to be his special people, and the Old Testament is written about their walk with God. They have what are called the patriarchs, the great leaders of their past, including Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, who was called to leave his homeland and head for the new promised land. And the great teacher Moses, who led God's enslaved people out of slavery in Egypt and on to that promised land of Canaan. They were a special people, a people set apart. And being that involved living differently to the nations around them, living so they reflected the God that had chosen them to be his and in that special covenant relationship with him. Thus, Moses gives the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and many more civic and ceremonial laws follow so that they can live as a people in community that care for one another and worship together with festivals and sacrifices, celebrating their relationship with God. And the Jews tried to keep all this law. At their best, they treasured it. Psalm 119 says such things as, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. They are sweeter than honey. They give understanding. They're a light showing the way to go." The commands were their heritage and their joy. They also believed God's promises that when they kept the law, they'd be blessed. So we read in Deuteronomy, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all the commands I've given you, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth, and all these blessings will come on you. You'll be blessed in the city and country, blessed in your children, blessed in your crops, blessed in your livestock." I like the little lambs gambling about. "Blessed when you come in and go out. Your enemies will be defeated. You'll be established. You'll be prosperous. You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be at the top, not the bottom." But also, if they didn't keep the law, they'd be cursed. If they didn't obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all the commands, confusion and destruction and ruin and disease and drought and plagues would follow. They'd be unsuccessful, they'd be oppressed, they'd be robbed, they'd sow much and harvest little. The Jews took very seriously the Torah and the scriptures. The writer of the Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus in certain ways. He focuses on certain aspects of his character and mission. His book contains 5 blocks of teaching because he wants to show that Jesus is a great teacher, one with authority. He is the new Moses. He stands on the mountain and presents the Sermon of the Mount, intended to remind us of Moses getting that law on the mountain. So is this new teacher, Jesus, going to make that old law obsolete? Is he going to abolish it? Is he going to destroy it? Like a new Roman or Greek leader sometimes came in and they'd get rid of all the old laws and they'd have new laws that suited them. Is he going to turn away from the law and the prophets, which has been central to the Jewish way of life for centuries? That whole heritage of Israel was recorded in the scriptures of the Old Testament and often referred to as the Law and the Prophets. The Law being the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, and the Prophets, the other writings. It all described the history and the events and the way the law was applied down the century through Jewish history. So why would Jesus abolish the law and the prophets? Before this Gospel of Matthew is written, the book of Romans is written by Paul, and it talks of a righteousness from God apart from law, a righteousness to which the law and prophets testify, a righteousness from God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believed. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but they're justified freely through grace in Jesus Christ. In the Jewish Old Covenant, the people of God had to do sacrifices to put right their relationship with God when they failed to keep those many laws. But the new people of God, the Christians, are justified or put right by faith without, or it says, does it mean without, apart from observing the law? And yet, here we have Jesus saying, do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I tell you the truth, and the word he uses is the word amen. So be it. It will be this way. I tell you the truth. It's a very emphatic statement. I tell you the truth that heaven and earth will, nothing will disappear from the law until heaven and earth disappear. Imagine until heaven and earth disappear. You couldn't really get something much more stable in our eyes than that. If heaven and earth disappeared, what would be left? So nothing, he says, will go from the law until heaven and earth disappear. The Message puts it like this. Don't suppose for a minute I've come to demolish the scriptures, the law and the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. I'm going to put it all together, pull it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky, than the ground at your feet. And long after the stars burn out and the earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. Jesus goes on to say, not even the smallest letter, they might be talking about iota, the little tiny Greek I in their alphabet, which is used as a tiny subscript on some words. Or they might be talking about the jot, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and the tittle, which is just a little stroke of a pen in Hebrew that can completely change the word's meaning. Jesus is saying not even a little tiny thing like that will go out of the law until heaven and earth disappear, until these things are accomplished and come to pass. Jesus continues with a great challenge. Anyone who breaks or sets aside one of the least of these commandments, speeding when you're in a hurry, texting while driving, dropping litter, cycling on the pavement, untidy room, anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Will be called least means we'll be least. When God calls us children of God, he means we are children of God. So if we're called that, we are that. If we break the commands, we'll be called least in the kingdom of heaven. If we practice and teach the commands, we'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Not greatest, notice. I guess Jesus is the greatest. but will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So do we have to keep the whole Jewish law as Christians? Is that what Jesus is saying? Jesus goes on to say, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will certainly not even enter the kingdom of heaven. The Jews were probably flabbergasted by this. They'd looked up to the wise and well-educated Pharisees and teachers of the laws. They respected them. They learnt from them. How could an ordinary person be more righteous than their amazing religious leaders? And yet elsewhere, Jesus comments on these Jewish leaders, and his comments are not quite so favourable. He says, they sit in Moses' seat like great teachers, so they must be obeyed and respected, but they don't practice what they preach. They do things just to be seen. They show off. They do things to impress people, to enjoy their self-importance. They are blind guides, he says. They burden people rather than helping them get into the kingdom. They are hypocrites. And I've always loved this verse. They give 10% of their mint and dill and cumin. Can you imagine them? And yet they neglect the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. They strain out a gnat and they swallow a camel. I managed to find that picture online of somebody straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. They are beautiful on the outside, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. I don't know how the Pharisees, well, we do know how the Pharisees react to Jesus' teaching. He doesn't mince his words, does he? A greater, a better teacher has arrived. Jesus goes on in the following verses, and more of that next week, I think it's Jean, to say, you have heard that it was said, but I tell you. And he reapplies the same Jewish laws, but he applies it from the heart. When asked by a Pharisee what the greatest commandment in the law is, Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So could we then have a righteousness that exceeded that of the Pharisees by keeping all these laws, by living a life of love to keep all those laws? At the end of the chapter, Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Could we be perfect? Since it's impossible even to keep the laws of our land or do all the things our parents tell us or obey our leadership above us, could we actually do everything that the holy God is asking us to do? How can our righteousness possibly exceed that of the Pharisees? How can we be the salt and light that Peter was talking about last week that comes from the previous passage? How can we live lives of love for God and others? Surely we constantly fail to be the people we would like to be, caring, giving, affirming, unselfishly supporting, people with God right at the centre of our lives. In the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, sacrifices and atonement were used to restore righteousness. Righteousness being a right relationship with God. Jesus does not abolish or destroy the law and the prophets. He fulfills them. He is the teacher who is able as God to show us how to accurately interpret and apply the law for every age and culture. He is the only one who lives out all the laws perfectly himself, never committing any wrong. And above all, he shows us that perfect path of love because he is the one who is the perfect sacrifice, who by his act of love, his death on the cross, restores us all to a right place with God, to righteousness. Anyone who believes in the saving work of the Messiah is put right with God and has a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees. the Jewish people, this was a term that came, they're a bit technical, came from my course recently. The Jewish people are in what they call covenantal nomism. It means they live in a relationship with God that's based on keeping his laws, and that way they show they're his holy people set apart for him, although they constantly fail and had to be put right again. Christians, on the other hand, are eternally put right with God. We have an eternal righteousness which is given us through the sacrifice of Christ. And that means we can live as salt and light. We are part of Christ's body. He's the head, we're the body. His spirit lives in us. And that's what enables us to live lives that fulfill the law and the prophets. That spirit that lives within us. It's certain then that we will enter the kingdom of heaven because we are clothed in the righteousness that Christ gives. And Christ died and he rose again so that we might be new creations. And so we know that Jesus said, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And he both fulfills them in himself and fulfills them in us, his body, who he is working to make perfect. And that perfection is guaranteed because of what he's done for us.